Possible in part by a grant from Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors, serving businesses and families since 1959 in Ogden, Illinois. Programming on WILL is made possible in part by Strawberry Fields on West Springfield Avenue in downtown Urbana. Strawberry Fields has an in-store nutritionist, provides a wide assortment of natural foods, vitamins, and supplements, as well as a full deli, coffee bar, bulk herbs, fresh breads, and produce.
This is the Afternoon Magazine on WILL AM 580. Good afternoon, I'm Celeste Quinn. Today, listeners, I welcome your questions for registered dietitian Susan Kundrat. She joins us on the first Monday of the month to talk about diet, nutrition, and exercise. I welcome your questions for Susan. If you'd like to talk with her, give us a call. Here are the numbers in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Susan Kundrat is a sports and wellness nutritionist and the owner of Nutrition on the Move. She's the author of 101 Sports Nutrition Tips, and you can find her on the web at www.eatandmove.com. She also has an office at Strawberry Fields in Urbana. 333-9455, 800-222-WILL, 800-222-9455, and 333-WILL are the numbers. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Thank you, Celeste. Happy New Year.
Good to see you.
You too.
We already have a caller waiting
to talk with us.
So let's talk with this listener on the toll-free line, line four. Where are you calling from?
Eureka.
Okay.
I have a carbohydrate question. Recent radio ads for a product called DynaCarb, and they say they decrease the metabolism of carbohydrate. Have you heard of that product, and how does it work?
Well, I think I've heard of that product. I don't know that I've ever actually seen it. There are a lot of products on the market right now that say that maybe they'll decrease the number of calories you absorb from carbohydrates or the digestion of carbohydrates or things like that. To my knowledge, there's not sound research to really back these types of products or these types of supplements that, you know, it's kind of like some of the fat supplements or fat digestive supplements, too, that'll say, well, you don't digest much of this fat, so if you take this with your meal, you're not going to have all the calories and things like that. I think we're pretty early in the science of all these types of things, and there's a lot of questions about whether these types of products really work. I can't say specifically on this one because, again, I haven't seen the label of it and I haven't seen all the ingredients. But what I do know is that it is a concern in the nutrition area that there are so many products that particularly related to carbohydrate now because that's still kind of the fad, although it seems to be waning a bit in terms of not – digesting carbs or decreasing calories you get from carbohydrates. So I guess I'd be wary, you know, if you look at any type of supplement like that or product.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Thanks for the call this afternoon. Other questions are invited. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. Well, here we are in the first days of a new year, and new year is generally a time where people start to think about their lives and maybe they'd like to make a change or two. In terms of diet and nutrition, you know, it's weight loss or weight gain or getting to be more active or improving your diet.
Right.
And a good place to start would be with solid information. You brought some newsletters along with you. Are these things that you would recommend people look into if they're interested in having a good source of information on diet and nutrition?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, I'm a big believer when it comes to nutrition and exercise and any other way you're really trying to make changes in your lifestyle. part of what we want to do is try to keep good solid, like you say, good solid information at your fingertips to make it easier to make decisions in terms of what you're eating and finding good information that continues to come to you. I really think that if, you know, it's just like with nutrition, I find that people tend to eat better once they really figure out what they need, because it's easy to get really confused with all the stuff that's out there now, particularly because I think a lot of the information is based so much on obesity, which is an important area, but it doesn't really personalize nutrition very easily for people to kind of sift through it and figure out what they need to do. So having good information that maybe you get monthly in a newsletter or that you can kind of look forward to picking some things apart to help you out, I think is really important. So one thing I did do today for the new year is pull three of my favorite newsletters that I get, and I've gotten these for many, many years, three that I think provide good solid information and good tips and are really helpful. One of them, we've talked about a few of these, I think, on the show before, but one of them is called Environmental Nutrition. It may not be out there as much in terms of what people might see, but it's generally written by dietitians. You can find it online at it's just www.environmentalnutrition.com. That's just the name of the newsletter, and it's often got good information about the latest research in nutrition, as well as they might compare different types of products. And here, this issue right here, the latest one I've got with me, which was November, they talk all about pre-hypertension, for instance, which we've seen a lot about hypertension, how that's affected by diet. Well, now there's real concern about people who really aren't considered hypertensive, or maybe their blood pressure isn't as high as you might consider for medications, but yet it's going that way and with other risk factors. Well, this explains that, what you might do in terms of food and things like that. And they also have other ways. This says other ways to sneak veggies into your diet, looking at different soups that are pre-made that are still healthy and things like that. So a lot of tips. So environmental nutrition is one that I find very helpful. Another one is Tufts University newsletter. They have a health and nutrition letter. Some of our listeners might be more familiar with that. That's been around for a long time, too. And Tufts Nutrition and Health Letter does talk about nutrition, does talk about other things, too. This is the January 2005 issue of this I have, and talks about olive oil. Olive oil recently got a heart-healthy labeling, things like, you know, olive oil, as well as things like oats and soy and things like that for cardiovascular health. So it goes through that kind of thing, talks about different types of fats and kind of goes through the confusion with that. Keys to Healthy Bones, which, of course, is another big concern. We're seeing more and more people have problems with osteoporosis and things like that. And so Tufts University newsletter, again, comes out every month. And let me see if I can find it. It's actually just, if you looked at the phone number for that, it's 800-274-7581. And then they also have, it's just at www.healthletter.tufts.edu. But that's the Tufts University Health and Nutrition Letter. And then the other one that I brought was the Nutrition Action Health Letter. And that's out from the Center for Science in the Public Interest. And it's another one that comes out monthly or 10 times a year. Talks a lot about things like foodborne disease, food safety issues, as well as this latest one has a whole information here from December all about food myths and diet myths and how to sort through that, best things about fruits and veggies and so on. And this also talks a lot about current research that's out there and kind of sifts through that as well. And so this is one that I think is real helpful. Again, this is called Nutrition Action Health Letter. And let me find the, I don't know if I've got the number for that right here or not, but I can come back to that.
Okay.
But this is another good one too. And another one that I get that actually when I was in college, which now I think back was a long time ago, but one that at that time really probably didn't have the most solid information in it was Prevention. But now I really feel that Prevention Magazine, too, is another one that they have a lot of dietitians writing for Prevention now where they didn't used to. They have exercise physiologists and specialists in the area, herbs and all. And I think that's another good monthly.
Very accessible.
Mm-hmm. Very accessible and easy to read and short spots that really make sense to people, and I find that very helpful in my practice as well.
Okay. Let's talk with another listener. Caller in Savoy, line one. Hi.
Hello. Your speaker has a good reputation, but I'd like to ask a few questions. You seem to be associated with Strawberry Fields, and my visits there seem to find unusual foods that are organic and awfully expensive. Now, is there an alternative to that by which people can use beans, cornbread, trace minerals and vitamins, and vegetables that are available in an economic advantage situation?
Well, I think anytime you are trying to eat healthy, there's a lot of ways to do it. I think, certainly I'm a believer that if you can eat at least some things that are organic, I think that's helpful. And certainly Strawberry Fields has a lot of organic foods and things. But there are other places in the community that have organic type products. And the biggest thing I tell people when they're concerned about prices, because generally organic foods are more expensive, is that you want to also look towards trying to buy things when they're in season. Of course, we don't have a lot of things in season right now, but I find a big difference in pricing, if you're actually buying certain fruits and vegetables when they are in season. And, one thing a lot of places do, Strawberry Fields does this, is they try to buy from local farmers a lot, too, when they are in season. And that often cuts down the cost because you don't have the transportation costs and things. So that helps some with the prices. So that's one thing for people to keep in mind if they're really trying to eat a little bit more natural and locally grown and organic, and looking at the local area markets in your area. If you've got farmers markets and things, I really encourage people to look at those as well. But like you mentioned, even things like beans and cornbread, and beans, I've always believed are one of the best staples to have around. They're not expensive at all, particularly if you buy dry beans. Of course, they're very inexpensive, and you can soak them and then use them. Good source of protein, good source of B vitamins, good source of fiber, and a lot of things. And so if you have something, a simple meal like beans and cornbread, as you said, then you're getting a lot of nutrients covered. You can easily even have, right now, probably one of the most economical ways to buy vegetables is really frozen vegetables, because a lot of times you can buy them a little bit less expensively that way. And still, if you have frozen broccoli, that's still pretty nutritious. So you put together beans and cornbread and frozen broccoli, and that's a pretty good start to a meal, which would be very inexpensive. So I think there are a lot of ways. You want to look at nutrition in a way that, okay, you're trying to get the best nutrients you can out of foods. You're trying to get a lot of balance. That's so important. And then I think if you are able to buy some things that are organic, I would buy them in season when they're a lot less expensive. I had, lately at a couple different places, I've seen organic fruits and vegetables be less expensive. When I went grocery shopping this weekend, I went several different places, and some of the places organic cauliflower I found less expensive than regular cauliflower. So, it's interesting, but you just have to keep a look on things too.
You emphasize organic. Name one precise advantage of organics as compared to non-organic fruits, vegetables, and such.
Well, probably the biggest advantage, or if people have concerns about particular chemicals, pesticides, things like that. Some people don't have concerns about those things. If you do, then organic, generally we have now nationally certified organics, and so then you're not going to have that play into the factor there. I'm also, again, a big believer, not just organics when you can, but also in locally grown. I think that's so important to try to support local farmers. And so I think this community, at least Champaign-Urbana area, has really, I think, have amazing strides. In the 10 years I've lived here, there's a lot more emphasis, I think, on local local farming, local produce, local meats and things like that, too. So that's another thing that I think is really positive, because you don't have the transportation time. You don't have the time that the particularly produce is sitting, somewhere, as opposed to getting onto your table faster. Generally, those are more nutritious. There have been a couple studies out recently looking at organic versus non-organic produce, and found some beneficial factors in terms of nutrients too. And I know we need more studies in that area, but and I'm not a believer that you have to buy everything organic to eat healthy, but I do think sometimes if you can make that choice and it's not more expensive or only a little bit more expensive, if that's a concern to you, then I think it's very doable.
You emphasize the organics, and apparently they are much more expensive generally than the non-organics. And what is one specific advantage of the organics, since the Food and Drug Administration controls most of the products that are used based on vitamin, minerals, and things of that type?
Well, like I mentioned, I think the first concern is, chemicals or pesticides. That's a big concern a lot of people have. And I think the second concern, too, is You know, there have been studies that have shown in some studies some superior nutritional quality, not in all, but that's something we're looking for more studies on. But those are two reasons that a lot of people I work with are interested in organics. And certainly, I see a trend towards a lot of local organics that people are really interested in that. And, of course, the whole organic market in terms of produce in particular and meats and dairy and things has just skyrocketed. I mean, a lot more people across the country are very interested in buying organics.
Yeah, I guess it's a matter of personal preference.
Sure, yeah.
And also, you know, if you can do it and if that's important to you, why not?
Right. I think when I talk to people, too, often what a lot of people do is they may eat out one fewer time per week and they buy one grocery run with more organic produce and foods, and they find that the money evens out. So some of it is looking at your whole lifestyle. You know, it is deciding on what you're trying to do. Same thing with fruits and vegetables. I have a lot of people say, well, I can't eat fruits and vegetables because they're too expensive. I can't buy them. Well, there are ways to do it. Sometimes it is maybe more frozen and canned, but you're still getting some of those nutrients. So I'm just a believer that if you're committed to eating healthy, whatever that means to you, that you can do it and look at other lifestyle changes that you might make to make it easier and certainly still be able to afford it.
The Cooperative Extension Service is a great resource there. I know that they do talks and they
yes.
have literature on putting good food on the table,
right.
you know, as inexpensively as you can,
mm-hmm.
because that is an issue.
Right, and I think wherever you live, you want to look at, again, not only farmers markets, but local co-ops. You know, Champaign-Urbana has a co-op. There's certainly other type of co-ops, or during the season, some local farmers will have co-op sort of type things that you can get involved in there. And then it makes it generally a lot less expensive to either buy organic or have more fresh fruits and vegetables from local farmers. And so it's always a good idea to look at all those options as well.
Yeah. And on the issue of frozen and canned things, there's been some research that has shown that some of those products are pack more nutritional bang for your buck because they're processed immediately
right.
at the peak of right when they're picked
exactly.
or harvested.
Exactly.
So it's something not to write off
mm-hmm.
either.
Especially frozen. And you know, the biggest benefit we see is eating, you know, making sure you're eating more fruits and vegetables and more fiber and things like this. And so again, that would be priority number one above probably organic, unless the organic maybe is your number one priority, depending upon yourself. But eating more fruits and vegetables is important. I think that's one thing we know. Science has proven that. There's no question that that's important. And whether that be fresh or frozen or canned or dried or wherever that is, getting more of those types of foods in, there's no question that decreases your risk of certain diseases and provides more important nutrients in the diet.
Susan Kundrat is our guest this afternoon here on The Afternoon Magazine. She joins us on the first Monday of the month to talk about diet, nutrition, and exercise. Listeners, you can join us with questions by giving us a telephone call. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Well, when you begin to work with an individual who wants to improve his or her diet, where do you begin?
Well, certainly we begin wherever the person is. I think it's real important to track what you're eating. I have clients keep food logs, so when they come in and work with me, they actually have tracked what they've been eating, tracked their exercise, tracked how much fluid they're drinking, things like that, because often what we don't do is we don't just assess where we are right now and what we are doing. Of course, coming off over the holidays and my family as much as anybody else, lots of sweets and enjoying eating and everything's around meals and food. And so it may not be the best time to do your tracking, but certainly when the new year begins, you get back in your normal schedule. That's when you really want to start thinking about, okay, what do I usually do? How often do I shop? I mean, some people don't eat well because they only shop once a month for groceries. And so they run out of healthy things, maybe things that are more healthy, and they don't get back to the store. And so we look at all those things. You know, what's somebody eating? What's your typical plan for grocery shopping? Do you have time to prepare foods? If you don't have a lot of time, how can you make things really quickly? Do you have decent cookbooks that are real helpful to you, that are practical, that will help you make food? Things like that. And so, you know, I think it's important to take a look at all those practical type item. So it's not just this is your plan, let's do it. It's more what fits for you, what really works with your lifestyle. And like we always say with nutrition and exercise and stress management, it's so important to develop a plan that is consistent for you so that even if you have a few weeks that you really don't eat well, you don't exercise, it's not a big deal because you kind of have your normal routine is something you can get back to rather easily. And I think also you want to solicit help of anyone else in your family or your friends or whoever you might eat with. And even things where you might get together with coffee for people, you say, well, let's try to get together this month for a walk and talk. You know, simple things that you can do. And so those are the types of things I try to help people look at is how they can enjoy eating. I think it's so important to enjoy eating. I think it's one of the greatest pleasures. So enjoying it at the same time, really feeding your body what it needs and being in tune with what your body really does require. And I think the other thing that many of us, myself included, it's easy to really get out of sync with portions. And so we're so used to eating large portions. And you know, as an example, we were all together with my family this holiday, and all the adults went out to eat. And the restaurant we went to, the size of these portions, they were about four portions, really, in terms of the main. It was a pasta meal. And my sister-in-law and I looked at each other, and we said, gosh, there's no way we could ever eat this amount of food. And we just talked about how this is part of our problem. I mean, it's a cultural problem of this huge amount of food. And many people do feel they need to eat the whole thing when they're out to eat. And so that's
clean
a
your plate.
Clean your plate, exactly.
Let's talk with another listener. Caller in Champaign, line one. Hi.
Hi. The previous caller mentioned or asked about other alternatives in town for buying organic produce and bulk items such as beans cheaper. And you mentioned the co-op in town. I was just hoping I might be able to give some information for the co-op that is in town here in Champaign.
Well, the co-op is, one of the co-ops I know about is right on the corner of Springfield and Wright Street, I think.
Correct.
It is.
Yeah.
And so that would probably be the first place to look.
Caller, are you a member?
Yeah, I am a member of the Common Ground Food Co-op. I was just going to mention that it is a really nice place to go to get produce and bulk items at a cheaper rate. And it's very user-friendly and... So I was just kind of suggest that to people who are in that position to where, you know, certain places such as even Schnucks that sells organic produce or Strawberry Fields, it is a little bit more expensive than the Common Ground Food Co-op, which sells organic produce as well as many things in bulk such as shampoo or dishwashing detergents or beans and rice. And it can often be much more economical, especially if you're a member and you might volunteer a couple hours a week to make it, you know, various... just make it cheaper for the buyer.
Okay, and you're in the phone book?
Yes, I am, actually. The number is, I'm sorry?
For Common Ground?
Yeah, for Common Ground Food Co-op. It's 352-3347 if anybody wanted more information about that.
Well, thanks for the call.
Okay, thank you.
Next, we talk with a listener in Eureka, line four. Hello.
Hi there. I just kind of had a comment that I wanted to add. You were talking about organic food, and I'm a organic farmer in Woodford County. And you talked about the man was asking, you know, what are the benefits of buying and eating organic food? And you mentioned several of them, such as, you know, no chemical residues on the food, and that it's fresher and that it's local. And one of the points with local is not only is it fresher because it's local, but you are supporting local farmers, which allows them to stay in business, and usually very small farmers. I have less than 5 acres that I farm on. And another thing, though, I sell both at a farmer's market and I have a CSA, which stands for Community Supported Agriculture, which is a subscription service. And I would say that most of my customers, they are concerned with the chemical aspect. But the main reason they buy my fruit is for taste.
Mm-hmm.
They really appreciate the flavor that they can get from this organic food as opposed to food at the store. And I also might add that I think that just the better flavor improves their diet overall because they're eating food that tastes better and it's healthier for them, and then they don't eat, you know, so much junk food and fast food because of that. And then I just had another another thing to add when he was talking also about benefits. We tend to always concentrate on the benefits to humans, but organic farming and raising organic food and buying organic food, you're voting with your food dollar to help the health of the whole ecosystem and not just the health of humans. You're contributing to clean water. There's less soil erosion, soil loss. There's healthier soils with a nice, healthy soil community of organisms. And that healthier soil leads to healthier food. And they, you know, a lot of people do notice that organic food costs more, but they don't realize that they're paying for that cheap food later, and usually it's through their taxes and through health costs because of bad health. And, for example, if you go to the store and buy chicken for 69 cents a pound, there from experience I know that there's absolutely no way you can raise chicken, even non-organic chicken, for 69 cents a pound. And so what you're paying for in your taxes are farm subsidies to support those chicken farmers. So those are just kind of a few comments that I wanted to give.
Well, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
I think I was remiss in not talking about the flavor and the taste, because I think that's a really good point, too, and that a lot of people really appreciate, particularly locally grown organic produce in particular, but also meats and things, because of the flavor and the more of the the idea that this caller had about when you're eating something that tastes a lot better to you and it's fresh and tastes really good, you're probably going to eat more of it, and that is healthier. And so certainly that's another way to look at it. And I do think that for a lot of people, supporting locally grown food is very important to them, and that's why I think we've seen this area grow. And I know around Champaign-Urbana, I think there are a lot of people very committed to that, and so that's another good reason. Let me make one comment, too, about with the Common Ground Food Co-op as well. I think, as that caller talked about a bit, that you can work a different number of hours, and so like a lot of co-ops, if you volunteer a certain number of hours, your price might be such and such for the products. If you volunteer more hours per week, it's less, and so on. And so that's something that people may not be aware of. One way to really cut down those costs, if you have the time to volunteer a little bit more, then often the percentage you pay is less. And so that's something really to look into at Common Ground or wherever you might have a co-op close to you.
Yeah, and also some of the CSA groups have an opportunity if you want to go out and do some work, or you want to be there when the market's open and help with, making change and that kind of thing.
Sure.
There are individuals who will give you a discount then on your subscription.
Right, right. So those are good options.
If you'd like to talk with Susan Kundrat this afternoon, give us a telephone call. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. Well, we've talked a little bit about vegetables here, and I know one of the things that you mentioned is in one of the newsletters that you brought along is how to get more vegetables into the diet, more fruit and vegetables into the diet. Do they have some good tips there?
Yeah.
What would your advice be?
Well, one of the first things I would certainly look at doing for people who are trying to get more fruits and vegetables in the diet is buying them, because again, sometimes we don't eat them because we don't have them handy. I think anytime you look at fresh produce, often we're more apt to eat that if it's out and handy, and whether that's in a fruit basket or it's hanging or somewhere you can see it, I think that's really helpful, because if it's out in plain sight, then we've got it. I think the other thing you want to try to do, a good commitment if you're trying to eat healthier this new year is to just make the simple change. If you did nothing else, say that whenever I'm eating a meal and I have control over preparing that meal, I will have a fruit and a vegetable with that meal. And so that's not a lot to change. It's a very simple thing to change. So for instance, let's say you order pizza tonight, and so you have pizza, and what you do is you cut up some carrots or you have some baby carrots on the side and you slice a pear or an apple or a banana. And so everybody who eats pizza also can grab some carrot sticks and they or salad and they can grab some pieces of cut up fruit. Now that's a simple thing to do. It would take 5 minutes, but most of us don't do it because we just think, well, I'm going to have pizza. That's what I'm going to eat. So that's a really easy way to just start eating healthier. If there's one thing you do, that would be very simple. And so making a point to have these available is really helpful. I mean, last night I was getting my daughter ready for bed and she was hungry. And so we were talking about snacks and she knows that if she's going to have a snack later at night, it's probably going to be a healthy snack, you know, after dinner. And so I said, well, what do you want? She said, well, I think I want some frozen peas. And she likes to eat frozen peas, you know, cold. And she likes to eat them when they're frozen. And so she had her little bowl of frozen peas and then went to bed. And so, you know, and part of the reason she likes frozen peas is because she's tried frozen peas and she's been exposed to them, you know, and I wouldn't probably choose frozen peas as my snack, but she likes them. And so that's the other thing, particularly with kids, and we've talked about this before, but how important it is to expose kids to all kinds of different foods and particularly lots of different fruits and vegetables, because often they might like things that we don't like. And so we might just not buy them because we don't care for them, but our children might like them if we gave them the opportunity to eat them.
Very good. Let's talk with another listener. Caller in Urbana, line one. Hi.
Hi. I was wondering if you have any information on how many acres it takes to grow organic versus chemical. Like, I don't know how.
Boy, I don't have that at my fingertips.
That's like another show.
Yeah, it'd be a good show to just focus on organic, really. We should do that. I'm sure some of our listeners do have that exact information, some of the farmers out there. But that is another, as the one listener mentioned, one caller mentioned, you know, talking about how does this affect our environment. I know in the Champaign paper this weekend there was a big article about just what is our environmental, how do we look environmentally in the county and some of the real pushes to try to take a close look at those things and what we're doing. And I think anytime you're looking at trying to minimize any extra chemical use or wherever it might come from, whether it's farmers or other areas or manufacturing, whatever it might be, that's positive and that's important. And so that's certainly an area when you're looking at the amount of ground you're using or if you're using less ground and also not as many chemicals, all of these things, runoff. There's a lot of things that could be talked about for sure, and I'm sure there are people out there who are real experts on that. I don't have the exact numbers myself, but...
Oh, okay.
Okay, well, look for that program in the future.
Okay,
here on AM 580. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the suggestion. Let's go next to a listener in Charleston, line 4. Hi.
I hope I'm not being repetitive. I just caught about runoff. But I live here in the north end of Charleston, and there's a bean and corn field to my immediate north, and the land slopes toward where I have a vegetable garden. And I've always wondered, I know they use herbicides on the fields. They come early and do that. And I have a cistern that I use to water the garden. I was told it was undrinkable, so I don't do that. But I'm wondering if my vegetable garden would be affected by the runoff.
Yeah, I mean,
that's another question for that coming show, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it'd be something to look into whether that's, like Celeste mentioned earlier, there are a lot of specialists in Extension and other places that might have some of that information as well. But I think that's something that we haven't always paid that much attention to. I mean, I grew up in Iowa in a small farming community, and I knew some of the farmers I knew were trying to do things without as many chemicals, and some weren't. And it was, I remember being talked about a lot with a lot of my friends when I was in high school and everything. And, you know, I think it's somewhat of a concern at that time, but certainly it's much more of a concern now when we're looking at our resources and how precious they are. And I know a lot of farmers are very, you know, very careful about a lot of those things as well. So, yeah, we can certainly try to talk more about that another time or bring on some other guests, perhaps with me, too.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. 333-9455. That's the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL, 333-WILL. Registered dietitian Susan Kundrat is our guest this afternoon. She joins us on the first Monday of the month to talk about diet, nutrition, and exercise. Well, back to getting more fruits and vegetables into the diet. Mm-hmm. We mentioned having them available.
Right.
Having them within eyesight or within easy reach. Your daughter's liking frozen peas to snack on. It reminds me that sometimes you can put more things into salads.
Right.
Like
right.
You see, peas are great in salads as
right.
well. What else
right.
else have you got in there?
Well, this particular article here talks a lot about soups and different ways. Now, one real easy thing that I encourage college students to do when they're trying to get more vegetables is if you buy a canned vegetable soup or, say, canned tomato soup, then you could easily throw in, again, frozen peas and frozen broccoli and things like that into the soup that's already made. Because one of the big concerns a lot of people say is, well, it's just too hard to make vegetables and this and that or to use them in things. But if you've already got a product that has some of those in them, or even if you have a packaged product that might be a noodle, you know, packaged noodles that you put on the stove and you cook up within 10 minutes. But what you could do is you could throw in frozen mixed vegetables into that or steam them ahead of time, then mix them. So what you're eating is really half noodles and half vegetables instead of all noodles. So thinking about ways that you could just add into things is very helpful. I mean, we often think about things like grating carrots into muffins or grating zucchini into bread or things like that, ways to kind of hide the mm-hmm. the vegetables. Or if you're making lasagna and you're just making regular lasagna, there's no reason you couldn't grate carrots in that and put small pieces of cauliflower in there, things that you actually are eating lasagna that's partly with vegetables and also might have meat in it or something too. So that's an easy way. And this article talks about, you know, some of the soups that might be better choices that actually have more vegetables in it. And nowadays there are a lot more soups that really eat them, and they do have a lot of chunky vegetables in them as well. And so looking for some of those, you know, types of products that might be lower fat but also have more vegetables. But, again, I think it's really helpful to have a lot of frozen vegetables on hand because, again, sometimes we're bound to run out of anything that's fresh, and then those are things that you can add to soups, you can add to noodles, you can add to rice dishes, anything like that you can just steam them. I think it's important for everybody to own just a real small collapsible steamer, because that's probably the best way to make vegetables. If you're going to cook them, you just boil the water in the bottom, you put the vegetables in for a minute or two, it steams really fast, you retain a lot of those nutrients, and that's probably $5 to buy one of those, so it's really inexpensive. But that's an easy way, rather than cooking your vegetables in water and things like that too, and then those are ready to go and to add into just about anything.
Very good. Before we go this afternoon, I mentioned when Susan came into the studio that I had found a report on the web from it's a report. It's a joint effort of the U.S. Department of Agriculture mm-hmm. and Health and Human Services, and every 5 years they come out with one of these reports, and it I think one of the main purposes of this is to get people who are responsible for feeding others,
mm-hmm.
Schools, public health programs, that kind of thing, to kind of keep them apprised of what we need to be working on. And it is called Dietary Guidelines for Americans. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to come out at least every 5 years. And they came out this year with 9 major messages. And I thought, since we don't have any callers at the moment, maybe we could talk a little bit about these. Consume a variety of foods. Some of these things are things that we've talked about over and
mm-hmm.
over again. Consume a variety of foods within and among the basic food groups while staying within energy needs. That means keep an eye on the calories.
Right, right. And I think, again, this idea of calories, it's really confusing for people. I think the big rush or the big push this year, a lot of things we're going to see come out from a national level are going to be knowing your calories, knowing how much you consume. What is 100 calories of something? Even we've seen all these new packaged products on the market now that are 100 calories of chips or 100 calories of crackers or 100 calories of trail mix. Or we're seeing all these packaged that way because part of the public health move is going to be looking at, okay, eating a variety but within your caloric requirements. And, you know, the bottom line, most adults, if they're moderately active, you know, they may require 2,000 calories, maybe a little bit more. A lot of people are going to require more like 1,500 or 1,600. Just for fun, when I was on, you know, on vacation, because we ate out a lot again and had a lot of things around, occasionally I would kind of think about, well, how much did I really eat? It's considerably more than my body requires. And, of course, you're not going to do that all the time. But at the same time, part of that is is doing those kinds of assessments to get an idea of what am I really taking in, or is that 64 ounces of Coke, is that how many calories does that really provide me, or things. So, so I think this idea of eating a variety of foods is really basic, but like you say, but a lot of times we don't do it. But then really finding out what is in things. It's not just about carbohydrate grams or grams of fat or anything like that. The bottom line really is calories in terms of what we take in if we're trying to maintain or lose weight.
Yeah. Another of their 9 main messages, choose and prepare foods with little salt. And this is another issue that, you know, well, what's enough salt? Mm-hmm. And salt isn't only what comes out of the shaker at the table.
Right.
But it is in a lot of foods that we buy.
Mm-hmm.
How do you got any tips for us, advice for us in regards to, you know, managing salt and thinking mm-hmm. about it?
Well, the more processed the food is, often it'll be higher in salt or higher in sodium. And that's another confusing area. People say, well, what's sodium and what's salt? Well, salt is sodium chloride. And so when you look on the label, what you're going to see is sodium amounts. A good amount of sodium that's generally kind of a moderate amount is about 2,000 milligrams a day.
A day, okay.
If you look at a teaspoon of salt, that's about 2,400 milligrams. And so a full teaspoon, let's say if you used a teaspoon just in yourself, you know, and something that's more salt than most people need in the day. But as you mentioned, you might go out for a meal or particularly something like a fast food meal and you could get 2,000 milligrams in the meal. And so I think the thing about salt is that the one area, because I work a lot with athletes, I do find a lot of athletes are low on salt because they've tried to be healthy with that and cut it down. Sometimes it's salt. If your salt is low in your diet, often your sodium might be a little bit low in your blood. You might have more trouble cramping and things like that. And so I think it's important for people to realize that there are those who don't need to watch it too much. But as a general guideline, it's probably healthy. We know that salt or sodium for many people with high blood pressure might make that worse. Some people it doesn't affect them, but that can be a concern too. But generally, if you eat more fresh foods, not going to be as high in sodium or salt. But if you're eating more processed foods or packaged or things with sauces in them or those kinds mm-hmm. of things, generally a lot higher.
Yeah. Well, I like a particular kind of soup that you can pop in the microwave. But, you know, as I was mentioning to someone last week, I said, well, it's not exactly health food, but because mm-hmm. it's got so much salt in it.
Mm-hmm.
So
then you want to look at that balance, too. You might have that, but you might have fresh fruits and vegetables with it. So what you've got is a salty item, but your whole meal is so-so, not too bad.
Yeah. Another thing, I was kind of surprised at this. I mean, not that this is a surprising message, be physically active every day, but they want you to be quite active in terms of moderate to vigorous exercise, if you're able, and they're recommending like an hour a day.
Mm-hmm. I think, and again, this is another area of confusion because different groups recommend different amounts, but the whole idea is activity, is just moving your body. It doesn't necessarily mean you're exercising really hard that whole time, but set times in your day where if you have a break, you are going to take 5 or 10 minutes of that break and walk if you can, or you're going to try to, after dinner, take a walk or go downstairs and ride the bike for 10 minutes or something so that you're staying active during the day. Of course, a big part of this recommendation is because of our obesity rate, because part of what's happening is people are eating more and they're just less active. They're more sedentary. So the caloric exchange, you know, we're taking in more and we're burning less. And so the whole idea there is to think about, am I active? Many people find they go through the day and they stop and think and they really have not gotten up very much at all, maybe 5 or 10 minutes of activity and that's it. And so gradually working towards a goal of maybe 15 now or 20, and a lot of people may not get in 60 minutes of activity a day, but they might be able to get in 20 or 30, and that's good.
Yeah. So between walking and doing housework and doing some leisure activities that you find enjoyable, whether it's bowling or dancing or whatever.
Right.
So it all that adds up.
Exactly.
Well, that's the good news.
Yeah. And for cardiovascular health, certainly you want to go for 20 or 30 minutes at one time if you can. Work hard enough to get some exercise in there. But, you know, so if you can make part of that on some days a little bit harder, so your heart has to work a little bit harder, that's great. But the big idea is to move your body. That's really the big push.
Okay. Susan, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you very much.
February?
See you then.
Very good. Susan Kundrat. She joins us on the first Monday of the month to talk about diet, nutrition, and exercise. She is a sports and wellness nutritionist and the owner of Nutrition on the Move. She's the author of 101 Sports Nutrition Tips, and you can find her on the web at www.eatandmove.com. That's EatandMove.com. 10 minutes before 2 o'clock Central Time. Settlement prices should be in now from the Chicago Board of Trade. Here's Todd Gleason.
Thanks very much, Celeste. From the Board of Trade this afternoon, futures finished the day lower, sharply lower. If you consider a dime down in the bean pit, sharply lower, probably most of you do. And that's what happened in the bean pit for the day. We'll talk with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois, this afternoon at 6 after the hour of 2 o'clock. That's Central Standard Time, so just a few minutes away. And we'll ask him just what happened in the bean pit today and how that managed to pull both the corn and the wheat down. Wheat futures March contract today had a high of 306. Their low was 301.5, and a settlement price there down 5.25 cents in the wheat pit at 302.25. May futures in the wheat pit 312.5, the high, the low at 308.75. Settlement price at 309.25. They were off 5 cents for the day. And July futures 319.5, the high, the low at $3.15.75, and a settlement price at $3.16 a bushel for the July. That's your harvest month in the wheat, down 4.75 at the Board of Trade. September soft red winter wheat 326, the high, the low at 322.5, settlement price at 322.5, down a nickel. And December futures from the board 336, the high, the low at 331.5, settlement price at 331.5. And they were off 6.5 cents for the day. From the corn pit, the nearby March contract off 3 cents today, high 203, low at $2.05, settled 201.75. Once again, that March corn contract down 3 cents. May futures 212, high, low at 209, settled 209.75, down 3.25 on this first full trading day of the year. July futures 218, the high, the low at 216.5, settlement price at 217.25 for 2005, down 3.25 cents. And September futures 225.75, the high, the low at 224. September corn settled $2.24.75. They were off 2.75. New crop December now 234.75, the high, the low at 233.5. And May settled at 234, down 2.75. And the new March corn 241.75 for 2006 on the high, the low at 240.5. Settled 241.5, and they were off 2.5 for the day. March oats for the day 158, the high, the low at 154.5, a settlement price at 156.75, up 0.5 cent. In the May oat futures 155.5, the high, the low at 154, settled 154.75. They were down 0.25 cent for the day. January soybeans 543, the high, the low at 537, settlement price at 537.25, down 10.5 cents today in the bean pit. The March contract off 11.75, had a high of 541.75, a low at 535. The March soybeans settled 535.5. They were off 11.75. May futures down 12, 547. The high, the low at 541. Settlement price at 541.25. Once again, that May contract down 12 cents. And July futures 554. The high, the low at $5.48 a bushel. July beans settled 548.25. They were off 10.5. The August off 11.5 cents with a 550.5 settlement price. The high at 555.5. The low at 550 even for the August contract in the bean pit. September futures 552. The high, the low, and settlement price both at $5.50 a bushel. They were off 15.5. That's 15.5 cents in the September contract. The biggest loser for the day in the bean pit. November futures now 564. The high, the low at 558.5, or rather 558.25, and the November settled at 558.75. The harvest month down 10.5 cents for new crop soybeans. Soybean meal January contract 161.80. The high, the low at 159.70. Settled 160.20. They were off 240. And the March bean meal 162.20. The high, low at 160.50, settled at 161.30, down 170. January bean oil 2040, the high, the low at 1987, a settlement price at 1994. They were off 67 for the day. And the March bean oil, 20.55 the high, the low at 19.98, settled 20.04, and they were down 75. Once again, be sure to stay with us this afternoon during the 2 o'clock hour. That's coming up in just a few minutes. We'll talk with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois, about what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade, especially that big dip in the bean pit. And Ann Barnhart of Barnhart.biz will join us to talk about the cattle market and what happened there for the day and how things might be panning out as the Canadians and the United States work through BSE and that new dairy cow, that 10-year-old dairy cow, I suppose, that was confirmed to be BSE positive yesterday by the Canadian government. Now, speaking of cattle futures, which we sort of were, Celeste Quinn is here now with a look at those numbers. Celeste?
Okay, livestock prices were higher today across the board here at the Mercantile Exchange. January feeder cattle, the high 103.20, the low 102.25, the settlement 102.35, that up 55. March 97.65, the high 96.25, the low 96.55, the settlement, that up 55. April 96.60, the high, the low 95.70, the settlement 95.85, that up 47.5. February live cattle, 89.10, the high, 88.05, the low, 88.40, the settlement, that up 57.5. April, 86.72.5, the high, 85.75, the low, finishing at 86.27.5, that up 65. February lean hogs, 77.15, the high today, 76.40, the low, 76.70, the settlement, that up 30. April, 77.30, the high, 76.65, the low, 77.20, the settlement, that up 40. May, 75.45, the high, 74.95, the low, 75.45, the settlement, that up 45. And June lean hogs, 78.20, the high, 77.70, the low, the settlement, 77.97.5, that unchanged. February bellies, 95 even the high, 94.10 the low, 94.57.5 the settlement, that up 32.5. The Dow off 30 points now at 10,753, the NASDAQ down 14 at 2162, and the S&P 500 down 7 points at 1205.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For more information, call 866-837-9027 or 877-433-4348.
It's time once again to Ask Dr. Science. So let's ask Dr. Science.
That's me.
Remember, he knows more than you do.
That's right.
Dear Dr. Science, writes Becky Fick from Granby, Massachusetts, what would happen if you cleaned your self-cleaning oven?
You would be playing with forces beyond mortal comprehension. To bypass the scientific impossibility of an oven that self-cleans, stove makers made a pact with Satan. Each self-cleaning oven contains its own demon, which resembles a heat-resistant jackal. This demon, which the Egyptians called Amanarange, or ugly dog on fire, dwells in your oven and eats your leftovers as you sleep, right down to the boiler grease. If you disturb this creature as it feeds, you're not only placing your own life in danger, you could be unleashing the very beast mentioned in the Book of Revelations. If I were you, I'd throw away your oven and eat only in restaurants. If you must cook at home, use a hot plate.
Thank you, Dr. Science. Send your science questions to Ask Dr. Science. Remember, he's not a real doctor.
I have a master's degree
in science.
Produced by Duck's Breath and distributed by PRI Public Radio International. For information about the new Dr. Science series,